This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Petey Rosenberg.
You're the voice of the city, brother.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Appreciate that, Mike.
Michael.
Petey Rosenberg would be a good hire for your show.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Who's this?
Huh?
Why?
Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
Hello, 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 and welcome to ENN, a special 40th birthday.
Yeah, edition.
For ENN today. Very honored to be here and grateful to for all the great things and people in my life over these last 40 years and to be doing this show. And that Michael K texted again and said, the S Network just played the conversation the guy had with my drops. Hilarious. Well done. Then he said, ask Spike for a free walk. For my birthday.
Yeah, why not? That would have been nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother Spike for a free walk, as it would be more complicated for me to get that walk to happen than just to have myself walk bare. But I do appreciate Spike's great work and his kind words and wishes. I'll start off by saying good evening to Don.
Swap aside!
And I'll say good evening to Andrew.
It's not fair. God hates me. You'll ruin everything.
Of course.
Oh, I love this guy. I will literally never resign. You will have to fire me.
You know, since, I don't know if Andrew would want to do this, since you were so complimentary of Andrew.
I think he's
doing
great.
ENN when I was away.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I'm Michael sitting in the seat. You're sitting in my seat. You're Don. Shouldn't Andrew do ENN when it's just us two?
I would be fine with it. I don't know if, yeah, I'd be fine with it.
I don't think he loves doing it. I think he loves actually speaking the ENN, but the work that goes into it behind the scenes, I think he'd rather not.
I think he loves it, and I won't ask him because he's not a human with his own thoughts.
Well, I'll ask him. Tomorrow, would you want to do ENN? Let Peter
sit back.
Look,
I'll get behind anything. Well, I was doing it for Peter last week because he was driving, and he felt it was a bit much to put it together.
But I would like to just experience, because
me
I think you're
you
out Thursday, Friday, right?
Right.
That me and Peter be able to sit back and riff off of you doing it. We'd never had the chance to do that because you've only done ENN when I'm here, when Peter's out. Would you be comfortable doing that tomorrow?
If you would like me to do it, I'll do it.
Well,
you don't seem passionate about it.
No, I'm happy to do it.
Okay. That makes me feel better. So so is that a deal?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Andrew will lead ENN tomorrow with me and Donald riffing. All right.
Mark Riffin.
We'll be Mark Riffin. You said Mark Riffin was calling today. He never called.
No. We had a whole big thing lined up. Vince McMahon was going to call.
Wow.
Doug Williams was going to call. Super Mario, Mario Lemieux was going to call.
Oh,
and
my.
You said you'd rather not have that much attention, so I canceled them all.
Oh, my. Super Mario was going to call?
Yeah.
So, sad story to start off. Russian boxer Maxim Dadashev died this morning, 4 days after suffering severe brain damage in his fight against Subriel Matias, which was on Friday night on ESPN. He's from St. Petersburg, Russia. He has a great record. He was working with Buddy McGirt, who stopped the fight after the 11th round. He had really just been beaten badly. McGirt said he thought about stopping it in the 9th, ended up stopping the 11th. There's video of him sort of begging Maxim to let him stop the fight. After the fight in the ring, he got violently ill. And then ended up, turns out, with brain damage and passing away. Here's Max Kellerman talking about it.
Even though there wasn't a perfect moment to stop the fight, people, you know, the ring doctor or the state commission or the coroner or the ref did a bad job. I don't think that was the case. This is just one of those perhaps unavoidable consequences from time to time of an extremely violent and dangerous sport.
It you know, it's one of the things that people were talking about, one of the quotes from Buddy McGirt, who said he was really struggling with it, which is, it's one of those moments when I have to be realistic about what my sport is. Like, that's what this sport is. It can happen.
It can happen. But in the 9th round, he wants to do what he thinks is best for his boxer professionally and allow him to continue. He wants to continue. I think coaches want to be sometimes subservient to the player, or in this case, the boxer. But I was asking you off the air, was there any shot of him coming back and winning this fight?
No.
If the answer is no, then what are you accomplishing? The bravado of saying, I finished the fight? Come on.
Well, it's interesting. You know, for as brutal as MMA is, and it is brutal. They have gotten to be incredibly quick at stopping fights, right? Like, if someone gets knocked out in any way, the ref tries to get in instantaneously before another punch gets thrown. When they see someone's guards go down and they're taking it, it's over. It's interesting. Boxing, if you may not get knocked out cleanly, because when you're knocked out cleanly, the fight's over. But you're just you can amass a beatdown over a 12-round fight, and it never gets stopped. You're just getting punished and punished and punished. And as long as you're still seeming conscious and aware, you keep fighting. And that it's
well, that's
a scary
why somebody
thought.
Has to step in and stop it. But
well, look, I mean, yeah, it's just bad.
But I just find it interesting that in every sport, especially the physical sports like football, hockey, they're coming up with all these different creative ways in which to protect the players. You know, you're seeing fighting is way down, equipment has been improved, headshots taken out of hockey, football, defenseless players protecting the quarterback almost to the point of ridiculousness, the actual conversations about eliminating kickoffs because they're so dangerous. But boxing, we just let it be. It is what it is. It's a dangerous sport. People could die. People could be brain damaged, and that's just the way that it is, and it's accepted. So why is it not tolerated in other sports? But in boxing, it's just accepted, and we just move on from it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could do the sport with headgear, but could you? Does the sport still work?
Many people are wondering, is football really football anymore? But the whole feeling is we've got to protect our players. Players are developing CTE, dementia, Alzheimer's, dying at early ages because of the violence of the sport. We've got to fix it, right? That's what football's trying to do, to the point where there's older people that remember football when it was a brutal sport and say, this isn't even the sport that I recognize anymore. But boxing continues to march on.
How about this? How about there's, in addition to the three judges, there's someone sitting ringside whose job, and there is always a fight doctor, but I don't mean a doctor, because doctors get called in to check people out. Or maybe it's the role of the doctor. You know, there's always a ringside doctor. Maybe it's the role of the doctor, maybe it's another person's role, Don. They are there at ringside to not only tend to the fighters medically, but to observe if a fight is incredibly lopsided. And if after six rounds or whatever that demarcation would be, maybe six rounds of absolute domination, where a doctor thinks a fighter could be at risk, the doctor, almost like throwing the flag in football, gets to say, I want to look at the cards. If the cards show the fight is lopsided completely, they stop the fight.
That's fine, and I think that makes perfect sense. But the fighter that's behind is going to say, listen, I still could knock him out.
It doesn't matter. It would be like, that's just what the rules are.
Right, but you're taking out, but that's a major aspect.
I guess you're right.
That's the whole idea of that great comeback, that one punch. I mean, you're talking about the rope-a-dope with Muhammad Ali. He couldn't do that.
Nope.
Because they might have stopped the fight.
Yep.
You're changing the sport dramatically.
But we've been changing football dramatically, right?
And people are upset about it. But again, at the end of the day, it's not my job.
How can people die? How can a sport that's already struggling the way boxing has been for years survive things like deaths at this point?
The sport has actually, it suffered. It used to be the number one sport in this country. So certainly it has dropped in the pecking order because I think of the violence.
What number is it? Let's be honest.
I mean, it's hard to gauge because I'm sure the ratings for a particular fight might be better than like a hockey game or a soccer game, but it's once a week. It's, of course, people that are fans of fighting are going to watch that particular fight on that Saturday night at 11 o'clock. It's hard to relate to it. But as far as in the order of how much we talk about it on this show, what is it, 15th?
No. It would be boxing is ahead on this show of
tennis,
UFC still on this show.
Yes.
It's ahead of MMA.
It's not ahead of golf.
It's ahead of soccer with the exception of the Women's World Cup. It's ahead of soccer on this show.
But it's got to be a big fight. And how often is there a big fight?
We
probably have not, outside of the ENN conversation, let's face it, if you weren't a boxing guy, if you weren't an MMA guy, it probably wouldn't even be mentioned in ENN. Mm-hmm. All right. But a legitimate talk show topic, boxing has not been on the table since Mayweather-Pacquiao. What was that, 2 years ago?
Three.
So it's something we talk about once every 3 years, like legitimately take calls on it, break it down. It's just not on anybody's radar. So it certainly has suffered. There's no question. But it's still there. It's still, people still love it. But it's still the object of the sport is to knock someone out.
Let's talk about quarterback Mark Sanchez, who's retiring after a 10-year NFL career. He's moving over to ESPN to join us here as a college football analyst. He will be part of the studio broadcast on Saturdays, and we'll be doing College Football Live, Get Up, all kinds of stuff. You'll see lots of Mark Sanchez, everyone. And let's look back on this moment in Mark Sanchez slash Jets history.
Richardson, the fullback, offset behind Sanchez, and he'll take LT out of the backfield on second and goal. Throw it to Tomlinson, and he is in for the touchdown. What a catch by LT.
It sure was. That football was thrown accurately right on the spot by Mark Sanchez.
Third down snap. Sanchez to the end zone over Arrington, and touchdown, New York, Centennial Holmes.
There you have it. Sanchez's two touchdowns when they beat New England in the playoffs. Can you believe that happened,
Dom? It's just amazing. We talked a lot about it earlier. He beat Peyton Manning and Tom Brady back-to-back weeks on the road.
It's unbelievable.
Now, I understand he's not necessarily going up against the opposition's quarterback, but that's still, in essence, what he
did. He outdueled them, though.
How often do we, when we do our picks in football, we're on the fence. It's a pick-em game. What do? I'm sorry. I got to go with the team that's got the better quarterback. I'm going to go with the Patriots because it's Tom Brady, or I'm going to go with the Colts because it's Peyton Manning. It's Mark Sanchez quarterbacking the Jets on the road, winning in Indianapolis and New England. And, of course, that was the can't-wait game from Bart Scott, and they go to the championship game, lose to Pittsburgh. Back-to-back years going to the championship game. So it's a real shame on this day that butt fumbles trending.
Yeah, that is a shame.
Maybe not anymore, but it was earlier today.
Redskins running back Adrian Peterson,
familiar with his work,
was reportedly, quote, trusting the wrong people and now is deeply in debt after earning $100 million during his NFL career. He's being sued for failing to pay back $5.2 million for a loan. Excuse me.
Bless you.
According to The Athletic, he owes $6.6 million after interest and legal fees to D'Angelo Vehicle Sales, who claims that he had defaulted on his loan in a lawsuit that was filed in New York. So, a disaster. Hopefully he manages to have another good year for the Redskins. I'm not just saying that out of selfishness, but hopefully he does.
So strange that somebody can squander that much money, but it happens.
It is hard to fathom, though. When you get up to numbers that
without
high,
drugs, it's even harder. Like, you'd understand if he was addicted to drugs, throwing that much money away. Not a drug addict.
No.
I mean, he had his issues with the kids, but I don't think that caused him anything financially.
No, only legally.
Legally. But I don't think it was that much money.
No, I wouldn't think so.
But you know how hard it is to throw $100 million away
I've done it.
And not blow it up your nose? What did you, what?
I was just kidding.
I would consider you somebody very good with money.
I am pretty good with money. And I've never put anything up my nose.
Maybe a finger or two.
How dare you, Don? On my birthday of all days? To talk about such crude things?
Hops, you know what? I apologize.
You make me sick. When you say
really,
things
is
like
that, that's a little much.
All right, so I will leave a gap between that and the, we'll pass up. We'll wait for Doc Gooden. Let's start here. Zion Williamson has found himself a sneaker deal.
Nice.
It is with
Puma.
That is incorrect.
Kangaroo. Ruse.
Ruse. That's right.
I'm just trying to think of like.
Well, no, take a real take. Do you know the answer?
I would think it'd be either Nike, Adidas, the one that I never heard of that you brought up the other day.
Uniqlo?
Yeah. I'm going to go that one.
No. It is with Jordan Brand.
Yeah.
So he's not Nike. He's actually a Jordan. I mean, they're still connected and affiliated, but he is a Jordan Brand athlete. I feel incredibly blessed to be a part of the Jordan Brand family, Williamson said. Since I was a kid, I dreamed of making it to the league and having the type of impact on the game that Michael Jordan had and continues to have today. He was one of those special athletes I looked up to, and I really can't express how happy and excited I am for this journey.
That's good.
I have big concerns about my guy Zion. I really do.
Are you a bust? You're thinking like Ralph Sampson type of level?
It worries me now. I didn't used to worry about it when he was playing, but now I don't know why. The injuries or what it is.
I want to see how they treat when he gets banged up this year. Are they going to treat him with kid gloves like they did at Duke? Like, because it's a rookie year, there's not a lot expected of the Pelicans. Is it going to be, we're going to put him on the shelf for a month. He tweaked something. I don't want that to happen. I'm on the play.
I'm going to bring Ty in here. Ty, what are your thoughts on Zion? Do you think there's reason to have concerns about the injury stuff? Does it give you any sort of feeling or no?
Not really. He's going to win Rookie of the Year going away. I think he's going to be a tremendous NBA player.
Andrew, do you agree with Ty on this?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you guys are making me feel better.
Zero concern.
No, you can't have zero. That's not reading the room.
It's cornpone what you just said. I disagree with everything you said, and you make me sick.
He got hurt last year at Duke, and you saw how they treated the situation. They're very cautious with it. He basically played, 30 seconds in the summer league. They pulled him right off the court.
For three quarters.
Summer league's not really that important.
No, and in a regular season for a team that's kind of rebuilding and thinking about him more for the future, you don't think it's possible that he's going to tweak a groin and we're going to see him out three more weeks than we should because they don't want him to get hurt in his meaningless season?
They are expecting to be a 7 seed, I'd say. 6, 7, 8 seed.
What if they're not? And what if they get off to a 2-12 start? He tweaks a groin and we're like, you know what? Let's just.
We'll see
after Christmas.
My biggest concern with Zion is that after watching him a lot late in the season, I felt like in every game there were these moments where it looked like he was almost hurt. I know that's just kind of my eyes and not anything that happened officially, but he would like go up for a rebound when he'd land. You guys can't remember this at all. He'd like split a little too far and you'd see him sort of wince and grab his leg and then run up the court. It just felt like he was always on the verge of something happening.
I don't know.
Makes me nervous.
I don't disagree when you say he'll be rookie of the year and he'll have a good year. I think saying you'll have zero concern after what you've seen this last year, I think that's.
You're saying
it's a little too pie in the sky.
You hate Ty's guts? That's what it felt like.
In the parlance of our time, yes.
Wow.
Everything is talk show host rips board up.
That's it. Oh, wait, let's get us a headline. Ty can smash. They're showing him right now. Ty can smash the board.
Yeah.
Have a moment.
Talk show host bashes newlywed on air.
Deep Eddy Vodka was named after the oldest swimming hole in Austin, Texas, a place where people gathered for good times that never seemed to end. Their authentic American vodkas are 10 times distilled and made with real, all-natural ingredients and fruit juice. Wherever they go, they bring people together for carefree good times. That's the spirit of Deep Eddy. So grab your friends, mix with music, and a splash of Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly.
So, former Met, Yankee, everything, Dwight Gooden, charged with a DWI in Newark, New Jersey, 54 years old, second time in a month that we've heard of him finding trouble like this. Apparently, he was driving the wrong way down a one-way street in Newark. He'll be in court on Tuesday. I don't want to spend too much time here, Dom, but we talked about it before. You feel bad for the guy, and at the same time, dude, get out of the damn car.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's the thing that I mentioned earlier is that at the end of the day, you got to keep the people around you safe. I mean, I want to see you do well, but I don't think while you're recovering, you're putting literally the entire city of Newark on alert because you decide to go down the wrong way, one-way street. What if a 10-year-old kid, it's the summertime, wants to cross the street and you run her over, and then that's a life that was taken because of your issues. So get yourself right, but I still think you have the wherewithal to not get behind the wheel of a car if you're intoxicated or under the influence of whatever it is you're under the influence of. And this is twice in what? Less than a month, right?
Yeah.
Or a month.
So I hope he gets it together. I really do. It's a really sad story. Odell Beckham Jr. says he hopes to end the Giants chatter. He addressed the comments from GQ. He said, it's like a double-edged sword. I don't want to talk about it, but if I get asked about it, I feel like I have to answer the question. I'm ready to put it all behind me. I think everybody has moved on. I've moved on. They've moved on. It's just time.
That's what you wanted
him to say, right, Don?
Yeah, that's fine. That could have been said in March when he was traded. All right, and everybody wants to come to the defense of Odell. And I don't think he's a bad guy, and I don't think what he did was that end of the worldish. But I was listening to Will Cain today. He was filling in for Stephen A. What is he supposed to do? He's asked by GQ. He's going to answer the questions. You don't think other athletes are asked to do exposés in magazines and say, no, I'm good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think Eli Manning was asked to do something? How many times was he asked about Odell, your relationship with Odell? What do you think about what Odell said about you to Celine Anderson? What do you think about what Odell said in GQ? And what does Eli say? Always takes the high road, squelches it right away. So he could have put this to bed months ago if he wanted to. So he doesn't want to. So don't all of a sudden I got to throw you roses for making the decision now that I'm done with it. It's over. It could have been over months ago. Stop it.
Magic Johnson had some rough moments with the Lakers, and now he supposedly had a bad moment after his time with the Lakers was basically over. After he stepped down as the president of basketball operations, he made it public that he had spoken to Kawhi and Kawhi Leonard's team. And now, a person involved in Kawhi Leonard's free agency process, whatever that means, told The Athletic, I truly believe that when Magic started telling the media about the meeting he had with Kawhi and Dennis, that sealed the fate of the Lakers. So is it possible that Magic screwed over the Lakers from getting Kawhi Leonard from just running his yapper during that time after stepping down? Remember, he did Stephen A. interview.
Oh,
he was popping up here and there and
all
everywhere.
All over the place. Wow.
And although I got to say something to our NBA reporters who do a tremendous job.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone here does a tremendous job. Woj. Ramona Shelburne, mm-hmm. a little guy you may have heard of, named, what's his name?
Go and grab your cleanest suit and go and comb your hair.
Windhorse at sea.
Thank you.
I skipped ahead. But all these people do a great job. And the NBA early free agency gave a ton of gifts as far as stories go. I don't know how you guys feel. I know I'm in that room. Ty and Andrew are two guys who really love the NBA. Every day I look up and see another NBA story about like Kawhi, and I'm like, it's over, guys. It's over, okay? The stretch has to end. The NBA was the sports subject literally from the second football ended until mid-July. You got an extra bonus week after a long time because of a trade that no one expected with Russell Westbrook. It's over. Every day I see another headline, like a story leaks. Can you believe it? Magic Johnson's the cause of Kawhi. I don't care. I know I just did the story. It's over. You got to sit back now. Let baseball have a second. Let football get started. It can't be the NBA 12 months a year. And I love the NBA. They're the only sport who will ever put me in a celebrity game. I'm sure of it. But we got to take a break. This is not a big story. You had every one of our reporters had an amazing run. Can you let Shefty start doing his job? Sit back a little bit, okay?
Well, it's
lay
big,
out.
And especially big for our company.
Whew, but
listen, I love our company. You know, we joke around, but
you're
I've been at ESPN for a long time. You know, if you're not a football basketball guy, this might not be the network for you. Those are two big monsters for our network, and they're going to drive it until people tell them no. And it's working out for the company, so I can't really kill them. Well, you're right. You'd like more baseball. You maybe like more hockey or soccer or whatever. Right now, what drives this company is the NBA and the NFL.
And I honestly prefer basketball to those sports. I'm just saying I just can't deal with the quote-unquote news stories anymore.
Here's the problem.
Once it's over, it's over.
See, that's the problem. When the news happens, break it, talk about it, analyze it. But it does seem like
we're
there are some people that are – you're reaching just a bit.
You had the best offseason anyone could ever hope for. The draft had Zion. Who's going to go here? Who's going to go there? The Lakers are a super team. Oh, my God, Kawhi's going somewhere else. That took longer. Here comes a Russell Westbrook trade. It's endless. Okay. And now it's like, let's try to get background stories. We've moved on, guys. It's just not that big.
You also don't want to get to the point where people are sick of it.
No, that's what I'm saying.
When actually something good happens, you've cried wolf so much that it doesn't get the do. I mean, listen, you're going to get your moment.
Guys, this is a shocking story. I didn't think any of us would believe it. Do you remember a while ago I reported to you that Yahoo was doing a platform, their own Mets website?
Yeah.
Where they had their own reporters and you had to pay for it? Not going to believe it, but Yahoo has ended their deal with the Mets. They are not going to be doing this Mets website anymore.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a good idea.
It's over.
Pay for information on this?
You're going to pay for the Mets.
So basically, he's like, I got an idea. I'm going to pitch it.
Go ahead. I'll listen.
It's called badnews.com. It's like all the bad news you can take It all costs is $9.99 a month, and I will send all the bad news that goes on that day.
I like
the cover in the Mets.
I like your thinking, young man. When did you come up with it? How does the technology work?
But by the way, that bad news is also available everywhere else for free.
Thank you.
That's even better. I like your website. What's that called? The world?
It's called the internet.
It's called Google? Okay. Sounds like a good idea, too. I'll go with his idea. I take it back. Your idea sucks. You only get the one bad news? I want all the bad news.
Well, but you're right. The bad news is everywhere. And the good news is everywhere.
I'm afraid I've got a bit of bad news. By the way, real quick, that end of ENN that we got to.
That was it?
That portion. Well, that we were on our way there. That portion was brought to you by Geico, the real value car insurance. Hold on. Let me just push this drop again. Geico.
I don't think so.
Brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico has been perfecting both for over 75 years. And also, that will do it for ENN, which was brought to you by our dear friends at Deep Eddy Vodka. If you haven't tried Deep Eddy Vodka, go check it out. It is delightful. You could check out the original, the Ruby Red Grapefruit, the Lemon Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly.
Well, that was a great way to close out the week. And the reason I say close out the week is we've agreed that Andrew's going to do it tomorrow.
That's right.
And then you start a little vacay.
Mini vacay.
A little mini vacay. So.
Mini vacay.
So for those Andrew Gunling fans out there.
And now we're going to go enjoy our tradition unlike any other.
Yes. The Oreo cake.
The Oreo cake has been delivered. Andrew brought it.
Timing of it couldn't have been worse.
Well,
I mean,
it was
selfish. Your way to a great dinner. And we're all going
to. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Andrew still thinks I should eat it.
Well, the tradition like no other outside of the Masters is that the birthday boy or girl gets the first piece of cake. So if you don't want any cake, I think that's got to be shelved till tomorrow.
Well, here's the question I want. As Andrew comes in with the Oreo cake right now, he brings on the bottom. Look, by the way,
it's gorgeous.
Look how romantic this is. Thank you. almost dropped it. Thanks.
No, but what did he do? What's everything? Okay, that's just...
So here's the question I have. Andrew, if I open this now, are you going to eat some?
Yeah.
You want a slice? You would have some? Ty, would you have a slice of cake tonight?
I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Why?
I just...
What, are you a communist? It's Oreo cake.
I don't eat cake.
What?
Well, this is ice cream cake.
Yeah, I understand that.
Hold on. What do you mean you don't eat ice cream cake?
I'm just not a big cake guy.
Yeah, but it's his birthday.
If I do eat cake, it would be cookies and cream Oreos.
But it's my birthday.
It's
also.
His birthday.
It's my birthday. Here.
If you don't eat it, then you're disrespecting Peter. You might think you're on a diet or you don't do that. You're saying I don't like you.
Okay, if you're going to phrase it that way.
That's the only way to phrase it. It's his birthday.
I can't believe you don't like cake.
Who doesn't like cake?
You have cake on your wedding?
Yeah, but.
A tiny bit.
Maybe a different kind of.
It was like a regular wedding.
Here's a bold thing.
Oh, really, Ty? You know, that was crude and disgusting.
You know what? You want a hot take?
It's the second time you've been an animal.
You want a hot take? Well, I think ice cream cake's better than wedding cake.
That's not a hot take.
I don't think you can
get
better.
That's a freezing cold take.
I don't think everyone knows that. I think all cake should be ice cream cake. I think cake that's not ice cream cake, it's wasting its time.
My brother, who I'm having dinner with tonight, just texted me with exclamation points like he's screaming before it happens like it's too late. Bring the cake. Don't open it.
Okay.
I don't know if I can do that, Nick. I'm supposed to share this with everyone.
All right. We'll discuss that coming up and more. Till Full On Han at 7 on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55.
The show's popping.
On 98.7 ESPN and on the Listen tab of the ESPN app.